We know glaciers around the world are in retreat. Summer sea ice in the Arctic crashed in 2007 and has never recovered. Now a young scientist reports that river ice is also declining. There are consequences for the human economy, wildlife, and climate change. This is new knowledge. We reached the lead author of the study, The Past and Future of Global River Ice. He is Zhao Yang, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. From Raleigh, North Carolina, Dr. Zhao Yang, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex, for having me here.
For centuries, northern humans took the annual freeze-up of the river for granted. Now cities like Ottawa in Canada are seeing less time for their great river skating festival, and some communities in the north use frozen rivers as highways for supplies. Xiao, what has changed about the way rivers freeze in these times of a warming earth?
Actually, a lot of research basically based on in-situ observations of river ice has found that in recent decades, there's a later freeze-up and an earlier break-up of the ice on the rivers due to the warming trend we have. And in the study that we recently published, we used satellite images and has a global coverage, and we find that the river ice conditions over the past 35 years has seen a widely decline globally.
How much has it declined? Do you count it in days, or how do you count it?
The particular satellite images that we're using do not allow us to determine the freeze-up and the breakup dates of the river ice every year. So instead, what we calculate is contrasting the first decade and the last decade in the 35 years and calculate the difference between the two decades. What we find is a monthly 2.5 percentage point decline globally.
As we know, the vast Arctic sea ice used to reflect sunlight back into space like a mirror, cooling the planet. Does the combined area of seasonally frozen rivers add up to much when it comes to regulating the planet's temperature?
I would say compared to other components of the cryosphere, for example, like sea ice, like glaciers or ice sheets, in terms of the surface area, river ice actually doesn't really contribute that much in terms of affecting the albedo of the land surface. But there's research showing that it actually has substantial impact on the local climate. Like in the valley where there's a big river during the breakup, you see substantial temperature increase at the time of the ice breakup. So it definitely has impact on the climate, but probably at a more local and a regional scale.
Why does the ice breakup warm up the valley around it?
Because when you don't have ice cover, then all the heat from the water can directly impact the atmosphere and also increase the evaporation from the river, and that'll basically heat up the valley really quickly.
And what are the mechanics of how a frozen surface on the river changes the release of greenhouse gases?
A lot of study has shown that rivers and streams are a net producer of CO2 into the atmosphere. But during the times of ice cover, you basically don't have that. You have a physical barrier between the atmosphere and the water column, which prevents the CO2 escaping to the atmosphere.
So if that CO2 or methane is trapped below the ice, when the ice melts in the spring, when you have the thaw, does that create a kind of greenhouse gas pulse at that time?
This is a really good question. It's kind of out of my expertise. But I would say there's processes that producing CO2 in the stream now be affected by ice cover because ice cover blocks the oxygen that's used to oxidize the organic material to produce the CO2. But that is just part of the process that's producing CO2 in the stream. So I don't really know, like, as an overall net effect, what will that be?
And what does a longer ice-free season on the rivers mean for climate change?
The local effect I mentioned, so there's a potential changes in local temperature, evaporation, and precipitation, and that's from the changes in the ice cover. And also, there's more heat transported by the river to the landscape if we have a longer ice region and duration. At the same time, if the river experiences more days of ice free during a year, it actually absorbs more heat during the summer and fall when there's no ice cover. So it gets even harder to freeze it in the wintertime.
So is this a positive feedback where less river ice could lead eventually to less river ice?
Yeah, in a sense, yes. In terms of the albedo, so because you have less ice on rivers, because the water is in general darker, it will absorb more heat, and more heat will make the formation of ice on a river harder. So in this kind of like feedback, you'll make it actually a positive feedback, just like the sea ice or the land ice.
A study from the Alfred Wegener Institute says for the past 70 years, the Danube has almost never frozen over. Historically, people expected to skate on the Danube almost every winter, but now that seldom happens, and something is disappearing from the culture in Central and Eastern Europe. Holland, the same. Did your study include rivers in Europe, and if so, what did you find there?
Yes, our study includes rivers in Europe. We studied rivers, relatively large rivers, rivers greater than 90 meters in terms of width. So what we find is, it's very interesting that you ask this, because Eastern Europe is one of the few locations we find that river ice is expected to decrease a lot. Like, it's kind of like a hotspot in terms of where the river ice decline will happen, both historically and what we predicted for the end of the century.
Many of the scientists that I interview on this program expect to see Earth warm globally by at least 3 degrees, and likely more as the centuries progress. What do you see as the future of river ice as the world warms?
So from our study, we estimated that with 1 degree increase in surface air temperature, we expect to see 6 days less of annual mean ice duration over all the rivers globally. So I guess with expected 3 degree increase at the end of the century, we're likely to see about more than half a month of decline in mean ice duration for all the rivers globally, because only half the rivers that freezes every year, that basically means that there's more than 1 month of ice duration decrease for the rivers that now have ice cover. So that basically means that for places that we now have about 1 month, a little bit more ice cover every year, we should expect to see no ice cover by the end of the century for those rivers.
That's a big change, say, for the people in Siberia. Are there also rivers that freeze in northern China?
Yes, there's the Yellow River freeze and also the Songhuajiang River freeze in northeastern China.
In October 2019, the Guardian newspaper reported on a related discovery, not one that you study, but it's kind of related, about rivers flowing from the Arctic glaciers. Journalist Leyland Seco writes, in the turbid, frigid waters roaring from the glaciers of Canada's high Arctic, researchers made a surprising discovery. For decades, the northern rivers secretly pulled carbon dioxide from the atmosphere at a rate faster than the Amazon rainforest. That's astounding. Dr. Zhao Yang, do you understand the mechanics of how that is possible?
I definitely noticed that research, and it's really interesting what they reported. My understanding, I have to say I'm not familiar with the details of the study, but my understanding is that because the river has a lot of sediments, freshly from the glaciers, and those sediments can react to the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere through a process called chemical weathering, which will basically pull down the CO2 into the stream, basically using the stream as a carbon dioxide sink. So I think that's mainly what's happened in the process.
Getting back to your study, do you know if a reduction to the length of time rivers are frozen does affect wildlife, plants, or insect cycles?
In my understanding, yes, it definitely will, because with changes in ice duration, there's changes in the availability of the food and the changes in the habitat that's available for the wildlife that's living by the river and the plants due to the local effects of the river ice to the climate that will potentially affect like when the plants will flowering, when they will have fruit. And a lot of the processes really relies on the local climate that will be affected in terms of the fishes in the river, where like their life cycles coupled with the temperature and ice cover of the nearby river, with the river that they live in, will be heavily impacted if we see changes in the river ice.
And I assume there's nothing cities or countries can do about the time the rivers freeze other than to fight for a reduction in greenhouse gases. But are there things that we could do to adapt to this new factor as the world warms?
Yeah, I think this study and hopefully will bring up people's attention about like why we should care about changes in the river ice in terms of like how we develop our future plans for like in terms of like protecting the ecosystem or building more sustainable infrastructures that take into account of the changes in river ice. For example, like the transportations in the high Arctic mostly rely on a lot of like freshwater ice, like rivers, and that forms on rivers and lakes. With the decrease in duration and the potential decrease in strength in this freshwater ice, people should start thinking about alternative approaches to like construct transportation networks in the high Arctic, so that we won't see like disrupt happen in the meantime.
Do you expect more follow-up on this study, and what will you be working on next?
I'm actually working on a project sort of related, but it uses a very similar approach to study lake ice. So I think in the future, I'll keep working on the freshwater ice, river ice, both river ice and lake ice, to study how that will change in the warming climate.
I'll be looking forward to that lake ice study. I think it could be really worthwhile. I hope you'll give me a heads up when it comes out. From Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, we've been talking with Dr. Xiao Yang. Find links to the new study, The Past and Future of Global River Ice, at my website, ecoshock.org. Xiao Yang, thank you for sharing your research.
Thank you, Alex, for having me here.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.